Hello, and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Laura Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today we're going to talk about CRM system and data integration. And lots of initiatives live or die based on whether the systems that power them, such as CRM systems, can be integrated with other corporate data. And now, often with cloud development, customer relationship management applications are becoming platforms of sorts. But the data that resides there needs to be able to hook into other systems, such as those residing in ERP and ECM systems, social media platforms, and data analytics applications, and more. So to discuss some of these issues, I have with me today Dennis Pombriant, the CEO of Beagle Research Group, a market research and consulting company. So welcome, Dennis.
Hey, Lauren, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. So as is usual with my podcast with my guests, I have several questions for you. And my first question is, what does it mean for systems to integrate? And what kinds of systems are we talking about here?
Well, it really runs the gamut. I think we used to mean by integration, front to back office integration, you know, getting sales information into the billing system in the order to cash process. But today, increasingly, we need to consider a wider range of data and business processes, especially the data about processes. So things like workflow metadata and other data about these business processes in transition, like maybe the data about the state of inventory in the promise-to-order part of a larger sales process. So when marketing transfers a qualified lead to sales, for example, the salesperson needs to know the details of the qualification, not simply that it's qualified according to the marketing group, but you know what steps did the deal go through? Was there any scoring done? Ideally, how long was the lead in each phase? And all that needs to be integrated and passed along as part of the greater sales process. So it's a lot more than just data.
So now let's talk technology-wise about CRM systems. Do certain types of systems integrate better than others?
Well, I think systems that are positioned as supporting processes rather than being positioned as data management systems or information management systems have an advantage. Today, we're still interested in the end result of getting a deal, of course, but we're also interested in the interim steps and how we can tweak them to reduce wasted time and resources. So systems need to network in ways that move transitory data along an integrated process. And this importantly results in coverage of the entire business process. So workflow data, analytics results, such as scores, if you're scoring something, they also need to move with the basic account data to help out in the next phase of the process. It's not just quantifiable data, but qualitative data as well that increasingly has to be accounted for. For this, you need a platform, which you should think of as a superset of apps that also includes a common database, the supporting functionality like workflow and collaboration, social media, and all of that converges on supporting end-to-end life cycles. Increasingly, the platform is the standard, and apps that adhere to those standards and use the platform's resources like data objects and collaboration tools and social workflow and all that have a much easier time of integrating. But let's also be clear on what we mean by the different kinds of data, because that understanding will give us a better feel for how it all integrates. So there's quantitative data and qualitative data, and there are two kinds of each. Data that cannot be logically divided mathematically and where there's no true zero point is termed interval data. That's quantitative. Temperature is a good example. While there is a zero-degree reading in most temperature scales, it's arbitrary and capable of being exceeded. Only the Kelvin scale has an actual absolute zero. Then there's ratio data, which has a true zero possibility. And an example of ratio quantitative data would be profits and loss. Profits and losses, I should say. Elapsed time can also be considered this kind of quantitative data. On the qualitative side, qualitative is also called sometimes categorical data because it represents distinct categories and not numbers. and you can't perform math on categorical data. And, of course, there are two types there. So, for example, hair color and postal codes are nominal qualitative data because they have no order in the sense that blonde does not necessarily come before or after brown. Letter grades are ordinal data because they have an order. A digital photo file can be considered qualitative data of the ordinal kind because the order that the data is rendered in makes a difference to how the picture actually gets made on a screen or on a printer or whatever. So that's a quick look at data.
So in a certain way, before I get to my next question, would you characterize this new approach or this approach of kind of combining qualitative and quantitative data as a more kind of holistic approach to your data management strategy?
I think so. You know, when you start to incorporate things like social media, a lot of the stuff that comes out of social media is pure qualitative data. And, for example, you might derive a lot of sentiment from social interactions or social media, social data, that you would then have to score with numbers to turn it into something quantifiable that you could then use analytics on to help you understand a customer's sentiment. So, a great example, I live in the Boston area. Here we use the word wicked as a modifier that means something's extra good. So, there's wicked cool. You know, cool is pretty good, and wicked cool is extra good. So if that comes through in social media, that's a kind of qualitative data that needs to be interpreted before it can be useful, especially, for example, in a customer service situation. Somebody saying something's wicked bad, really bad, or are they using bad in its reverse terminology and saying something wicked bad is really wicked good?
Right. So my next question is about cloud-based CRM systems. How did they do, and how do they fare in terms of integration?
Well, I think we're increasingly seeing vendors stepping up to the platform approach in cloud. And moving towards cloud. And one of the reasons for that is that everybody's re-architecting and going to the cloud is a great excuse to re-architect your apps and incorporate the latest thinking on things like platforms. But it's relatively early days, so some platforms are more built out than others. The best cloud platforms try to be ubiquitous and offer support through Wi-Fi and 3G and 4G and conventional networks so that anyone on any device can participate in the business process, even if participation is only content consumption. Platforms and their APIs are expanding so that virtually any app can talk to any other app, not simply to share data, but to enable the user to participate in the process. And one of the other things that platforms are really strong at is enabling developers to define an application once and then generate running code for a variety of form factors and operating systems.
Gotcha. So does that involve sort of making things more code agnostic so that they can apply to different scenarios?
Yeah, it sort of raises things a level of abstraction. So you go from writing hard code to defining things with drag and drop tools, for example, and letting the platform actually generate appropriate code for the target platform.
Gotcha. Okay, so now let's talk about, in terms of deployment, how do other systems play into the integration equation? What should IT pros kind of consider in terms of their whole ecosystem?
Well, I think everybody needs to keep in mind the transition process that converts data first into information and then into knowledge. With that in mind, we can do a much better job of determining the systems that we actually need and the processes that they'll support. Then we can concentrate on integration. Certainly, everybody needs to think about standards, but today, as we've seen, that means a lot more than just databases and programming languages. You also need to consider things like API sets, whether or not there are common languages. There are some de facto standards out there like Java. And, of course, there's middleware that makes putting a lot of things together possible, for example, to send process metadata around a business. Generally, vendors with front and back office solutions have developed ways to integrate their products. But when you get to heterogeneous solutions, that may not be the case. So there are many legacy systems that might not be up for all of this integration that we're talking about. So you'll need to check around to see if there are third-party integration solutions or if your platform vendor has developed a way to grandfather those older systems.
Gotcha. So as always in the cloud, legacy systems can sort of be, can hold you back a little bit in terms of integration.
Legacy has to be accounted for. You know, there are still thousands of mainframes in productive use right now.
Mm-hmm.
Mission-critical apps.
So, Dennis, many, many thanks to you for joining us today and shedding light on this topic.
It's my pleasure, Lauren. I hope you have a great day.
Oh, you too. And for more on CRM integration, check out searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horowitz.